I'm Duncan McLeod, and you're listening to a Tech Central podcast brought to you by CECOM. I'm pleased now to welcome Steve Briggs back to the show. Steve is CECOM's Chief Commercial Officer. We had a great chat a few months back about how technology is changing society, and I recommend you go back and have a listen to that podcast if you missed it at the time. But we're here today, Steve, to chat about CECOM's brand overhaul. The company is 10 years old this year. And that's probably a good age, I would guess, for a company to consider doing something like this, right?
Yes, Duncan, thanks very much. You're quite right. We are not just celebrating our 10th birthday quite soon, in mid-July, in fact, but we are one of the catalysts behind our brand refresh was also the acquisitions we made last year, mainly Macrolan in the Western Cape, SAI in Durban, and, of course, Fiberco, which gives us our national long-distance fiber across South Africa. So bringing those companies together, plus the fact that our brand was due for a brand refresh, gave us the opportunity and the reason, and you know, we're very pleased with what we've managed to put together so far.
Those acquisitions that you did, you mentioned Macrolan and Fiberco, for example, have they been continued to trade under those names post-acquisition, and there's now a renaming going on, or it's just the idea to kind of refresh the brand and bring them all under the same umbrella?
So those companies, Macrolan and SAI, have changed their brand. They're now known as CECOM. CECOM Western Cape for the old Macrolan team, CECOM KZN for the old SAI team, but very much now part of the CECOM brand. Fiberco equally is in the process of having their brand changed. So to all intents and purposes, the brand has changed, but there's still some corporate structures behind there that are being closed out over the next few months.
So Fiberco will be known in future just as CECOM, or as a specific division of CECOM?
It's going to form part, or does form part, of our service provider team. Mm-hmm. So just to recap, we've got three go-to-market channels. We've got service provider, which you know, in a sense is where CECOM started, our traditional business carrying, you know, big pipes and traffic. We've now got CECOM business, which is aimed at the corporate client base across Kenya and South Africa. And recently, with the SAI and Macrolan acquisition, we've also got an SME go-to-market channel to address those market needs.
Okay, so it'll fall in that service provider division.
Very much part
but
of service
branded
provider.
CECOM.
Branded CECOM, when it's all kind of complete and rolled out.
Right. Okay. So let's talk a bit more about the acquisitions you've done and how they're being bedded down. The Fiberco acquisition was the most recent one. What integration work are you having to do there? How are you integrating the teams from Fiberco into CECOM?
Sure. So we have moved the Fiberco team into our offices. So that's probably the most noticeable change to anyone, is that the old Fiberco offices are no longer there or being used. The team has moved across here. We've squeezed more people into our building here in Johannesburg. But at a kind of back end level, a lot is going on. So we've now completely productized the Fiberco network with CECOM products. So we can now offer lit services across the country to big service providers. And you might say, well, what's different? Prior to us having the Fiberco assets, we were able to bring capacity, but only landed at the cable landing stations. Now we're able to essentially connect you to any data center in the country that's on that network. So that's appealing to South African service providers, but even more so to our international clients who now find, you know, a single provider can meet all the international needs for connectivity into South Africa and the rest of the continent. We also, I think, very excitingly put in a fair investment into the old Fiberco network on a big light up on the N1, which means all the towns we pass through, we intend to drop off capacity in those towns. So to maybe put that in less technical language, the Fiberco network as it stands today really is an express route from Johannesburg to Cape Town.
Yeah.
And even though it runs through, you know, the Karoo and the Free State and so on, doesn't really drop off any capacity in those markets. Mm. With this investment we're making, we're now going to be able to sell capacity into those markets too. And really that would be aimed at the wireless internet service providers who are growing really aggressively. And we believe it will help increase penetration of the internet into those markets, bring prices down, and ultimately make the internet more accessible to regions of the country that have been historically underserved.
So you're basically pulling fiber into those towns and creating a little point of presence in each town.
Correct.
That you go past. What sort of towns are you looking at, and what's the rationale for deciding whether or not to establish a point of presence?
Sure. So I mean, we're driven by some market metrics. So so clearly, the bigger the town, the bigger the opportunity. And also, we work very closely with some of the larger national WISPs. Who are our customers already. Mm-hmm. So we take guidance from them, plus we do our own kind of business case per market. And on the base of there, some obvious ones stand out, like Bloemfontein, for example, and a couple of other bigger ones.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that the ones that don't necessarily have the capacity won't be addressed in time. Mm-hmm. It just means we'll start with the big opportunities first.
It's interesting how the wireless ISPs have done so well, especially in the smaller towns where they're not being serviced by the big fixed line and mobile necessarily by the mobile incumbents. And so there's a need for affordable broadband services amongst SMEs, even home users, in those towns, and they've really filled a gap there.
Yeah, so I think they've played a very clever game, if I might be honest. Mm-hmm. I think it's the classic textbook of go for the blue ocean, not the red ocean. So there's lots of blue ocean in the smaller parts of South Africa, less competition. And I think what's interesting to me at a market level is it shows that there's a certain price point the market can bear, and it's in many ways probably a lot higher than what you pay in more metro and urban areas. We've seen price points of probably 1,000 to 1,500 rand plus for a simple home service or a simple business service, and we see probably that price point halved in the metro areas.
Yeah.
So well done to the WISPs. I think they've got a great business, and we hope to help them on the wholesale side to increase their reach and their scope.
How have they typically connected sort of prior to Secom arriving on the scene?
We by far, by no means are the only game in town. Mm-hmm. There are other network providers who go through these towns. I just think,
but not necessarily open access like you guys are.
Correct. Yeah. I was going to say there's some caveats to that. So mm-hmm. maybe pricing is not that as sharp as it could be, and maybe it's not as easy to link into their networks as mm-hmm. as we would like to think we can be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. So let's come back and talk about the brand refresh. I'd imagine that refreshing a brand is not an easy exercise. At least you have the advantage of not actually changing your name, like Anderson Consulting did, for example, when it became Accenture all those years ago. But it's still a lot of PT, right?
Correct. So brand refresh is a complex exercise. The kind of starting point and end point might not seem too dissimilar from one another, although I think the new Secom brand is fresher, more relevant, more contemporary than the old one was. But just to unpack a bit of what we went through to do that. So we started with a bit of basic market research, mm-hmm. and it was interesting to us that Secom is a brand that's held in high regard, but it's not terribly well known outside the rather niche market we historically played in. Mm. So with that in mind, and with the fact that we now have a much broader reach, particularly into the SME markets and so on, part of the remit was to help make the brand more accessible and to make it better known.
Mm.
And we did a little market research around, the trends in the industry. One of the obvious trends that listeners to your podcast will be familiar with is that all ISPs, I think, are trying to move away from simply connecting people.
Yes.
There's now all the stuff that can enable, and I think we touched on that in the last podcast. So part of our ambition in our brand refresh was to identify ourselves firmly as part of the digital transformation agenda. Mm-hmm. And for that, we used a well-known motif where we are trying to show some light in the darkness. So to excuse the metaphor, it might be a bit overused, but I think in our execution, we've tried to show how the Secom brand can be that light and, in a sense, guide businesses along their own digital transformation paths.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing so, make it more accessible, cleaner, fresher, and hopefully ultimately help our commercial side of our business mm-hmm. too. I think some brand refreshes get lost because it becomes all about the execution at an agency level, but loses touch with the market. We've been very clear to research some concepts before we took it to market to make sure that the market understood what we were saying and was happy with it, and pleased mm-hmm. to say that feedback came through very positively.
And of course, light also has a context in fiber.
Certainly, sure. So again, those who know the fiber technology will know that all fiber really is a tiny glass tube that contains, you know, millions of pulses of light per second. Mm. So there is that link back to our brand and our, I guess, ultimately our product set.
Okay. So Steve, take us through exactly what's changing with the brand and why have you decided to make those changes?
Sure. So I'll try and paint a voice picture for those listening. So our brand historically was blue or white on a blue background. Our background color has now changed to a dark gray, or as our marketing people would say, a night jewel. We are then, for our kind of signature icons and so on, using a contemporary I guess iconography, things like speech bubbles and clouds, which are very relevant to, you know, voice and data and cloud computing, but executed with neon colors against this darker background. So, you know, the overall impression is left with something quite modern, maybe slightly edgy, with this leitmotif in against these dark backgrounds, you know, signifying our intention to help your business along with fiber and transformation and so on.
And most importantly, I guess, to be noticeable, to stand out in
yes.
the fray.
Yeah, to stand out really, I guess, in the market.
Yeah.
That is going to apply to all our collateral. So there's a big website refresh coming along that will, you know, use this language. Mm-hmm. But it's not just a web update for the sake of brochure, where there will be a whole lot of functionality on the website. For example, digital sales journeys and digital self-service journeys that allow customers to do more than they have previously done, again, speaking to digital transformation. All our collateral, all our marketing material, business cards, etc., and of course our offices. So you can, you know, look around this boardroom and the office you've just
colors
walked into,
have changed.
And see a lot has changed too. So it's a theme really that touches all of us across our markets. So our international markets too, in East Africa and so on, will also take the upgrade forward.
Yeah, there must be so many different elements that need to change that I think many people just don't even think of, right?
Yeah, hard to believe. Thankfully, our marketing people have a real attention to detail.
Okay.
And, you know, everything from, you know, the color of the boardroom chairs to the artwork on the walls has had to be considered in this brand upgrade and refresh.
So what are the ultimate business objectives behind refreshing the brand? And are you going to accompany it with a marketing blitz?
Sure. So our marketing initiatives are going to ramp up, but very much in the digital space. So we've as we've transformed from our historical service provider business, where marketing was quite niche, it centered on a few events and conferences and functions and so on. Now that we're targeting a broader market, we are needing to choose which media we back. Mm-hmm. And we are unashamedly backing digital media. So you won't be seeing billboards next to the airport from CECOM. We're not about to buy the, you know, slots on the 8 o'clock news on TV. I'm not even sure you can still do that, in fact. but we are going to hopefully execute in a very slick digital way. So on platforms that are relevant to business, so LinkedIn is a key one. Mm-hmm. You know, clever use of AdWords and analytics to drive traffic to the website. And particularly for our on-net products, where we've built into campuses in the Western Cape and Johannesburg, some clever geographically enabled digital marketing, so that if you happen to be in the office park, you're probably going to see a lot of us online and digitally, because we're going to be coming after you.
Okay. Well, it makes sense to do it digitally. I mean, given who your target audience is, it's a tech-savvy consumer. It's companies that are the guys that are making the buying decisions are not consuming traditional media anymore.
Yeah, quite right. So we're not just trying to do this to be, you know, contrary to the market or be clever. We believe the market really has shifted so fundamentally that this is probably the best way of getting a decent investment from our marketing rands. Mm.
How do you measure the success of something like this? Just coming back to the previous question, what are the long-term business objectives?
Right. So long-term business objectives are to increase our brand reach and presence. So we don't want to only be known by a niche bunch of, you know, IT fundies. We want to become a better generally known brand in the service provider and telecommunications space. We are also signaling to the market that we are moving beyond our traditional business, which is just connectivity. We've got already in our product stacks cloud solutions, be it storage or productivity solutions, or even migrating your business into some of the hyperscalers that we on the wholesale side bring into the country. Mm. So we are trying to signal to the market that we are have a broader reach and have a deeper product stack than just the kind of speeds and feeds and pipes that CECOM has been traditionally known for. Mm. You also asked a bit earlier in terms of a blitz or a campaign. We are going to be targeting product-specific campaigns to the market. So whether it's a connectivity special or whether it's some of our new cloud services, those are the campaigns that you'll be seeing go to market and executed, as I touched on earlier, in very much a digital manner.
So Steve, before I let you go, CECOM's been around for 10 years. It started out as a subsea fiber or subsea communications provider, and that's obviously where it got its name from, CECOM. As part of this brand refresh, did you consider the possibility of possibly changing the company's name?
So we did a lot of market research on the CECOM brand, but also the brands we had acquired. Mm-hmm. And alongside discovering that CECOM is quite a niche brand, very well known in the traditional circles, but not so well known outside of that. The other thing that stood out for us regarding the CECOM brand was just the huge accolades it got as being part of Africa's tech revolution.
Yes.
By bringing the wholesale capacity into the market 10 years ago, the markets it landed in, so Kenya, Tanzania, Mozambique, and South Africa, and how, in a sense, each of those markets was catalyzed for growth because of CECOM. We discovered a whole lot of love and heritage for the brand that I don't even know we were aware of. And that quickly helped us realize that even though the name C is still in it and may not apply to all our businesses today, that heritage is very important, and we would be losing that if we were to change the brand.
That's very interesting. I personally know that a lot of people have a favorable view of the CECOM brand because when it came into the South African market, it really shook things up and it led to massive decreases in the price of bandwidth in this country.
Quite right. And generally we get more good than bad. I've heard at times when the internet's not working, is CECOM down? But that question gets asked less and less frequently nowadays.
Used to be true.
It used to be true, quite right, when we were the kind of only routes. Yeah. Unfortunately, they're diverse providers now, and unfortunately, we haven't been down for a long time.
Yeah.
But there is just a real heritage, and I dare say a love for the brand that we want to embrace and grow, in fact. So it was an easy decision to retain the CECOM brand in the brand refresh.
Fascinating. Well, Steve Briggs is Chief Commercial Officer for CECOM. Thanks, as always, for your time.
Thank you, Duncan.